Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And in part two today, we're going to talk to our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We've got Jess with us right now. It's been a while. How are you doing, Jess?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's always great to talk with you and have you in studio to be able to talk with you. And any chance we get to highlight our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, we love being able to do that. And it's never a bad time to be able to do that. But this is a really and particularly good time to have you in, Jess, as April coming up is Sexual Assault Prevention Month. And this is one of the more important ones on the calendar for us at the Family Center that we focus on and talk about. I always like to mention before these interviews, I am a Wisconsin Rapids Family Center board member, and take that with a strong note of everything I'm saying is not only important and impactful, but I am a community member that cares. And I say that because I know there's many of you out there, and we're always looking for volunteers, for future board members, a part of the Family Center. Yes, we have one of the more vital, important things we're doing in this area. We also have a lot of fun over there, and it's a really, really amazing group of people over there to be a part of. There are a few things in life that feel so good to put into, like the Family Center. Mm-hmm. I speak to this, and I encourage others to reach out to the Family Center if you'd like to be a board member or volunteer for any of the events coming up. Jess, when it comes to the Sexual Assault Prevention Month and talking about this, you at the Family Center, the team at the Family Center, how do you guys approach this month? How do you, what kind of things do you try to highlight this particular month?
Yeah, so with this month, it's really about the awareness that sexual assault and sexual violence is definitely happening in our community, as much as I wish it wasn't, right? But we really try and highlight that this is not just an individual issue. This isn't just something that happens to, you know, to victims or survivors. Mm-hmm. It's not an individual thing. This is a community problem and something that we should all be aware of and all be, you know, kind of working towards ending.
One of the things that I appreciate that you guys are able to do with this, too, is you have themes and different mm-hmm. things that highlight. So is there a theme for this month?
Yeah. So from the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, the theme for this year is Together We Act, United We Change. And really what this is about is, again, looking at sexual violence as a community issue and not an individual issue. And how can we as a society come together and, you know, prevent and intervene when these things are happening, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard the word rape culture before. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for those of the listeners who haven't heard that before, this is kind of this idea that that sexual assault, sexual violence is part of our culture, right? As much as I don't like to say that, it is mm-hmm. part of our culture, like whether it be in movies or jokes or mm-hmm. the media that we're consuming. And we really want to switch our community to a culture of consent, a culture mm-hmm. of that we're aware that these things happen and we prevent them, we act, right?
Yeah. Jess, one of the things that I understand that maybe not every household was like this, but mm-hmm. in mine, I learned about women's rights before my own.
Sure.
And this is the second interview and back to back. I mentioned my mother here, so I'm hopefully earning some points with her. My mother raised us. She is a former hippie feminist, and and she was. It was very important to us to learn these things. Right. It was actually my dad that was probably maybe even a better example in some ways, at least for me and my brother. Because my father was very adamant about how we treat people when they're not in the room and yes. how we talk mm-hmm. about people when they're not around. Mm-hmm. And this was something that when I was in sports and you're in the locker room and you hear guys making jokes, that it was very, even though, you know, if I was alone on an island on it, I didn't laugh. Mm-hmm. And I called guys out on it. From a young age. My brother did a very similar thing. And I know that we're not the only ones that did that. When we're talking about this stuff, I'm just using this as one example, but mm-hmm. as an example of how we treat these topics and how we treat them when people aren't around. It's one yes. thing when somebody's in the room and standing in front of you of how you act and treat that person. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when nobody's looking. in how you're acting. Right. Because you may think nobody's paying attention or it's not that heavy of a topic, but everybody around you has a brain and they're sucking up this information and how you treat people. And this stuff also has a subconscious effect on things. We have the science to prove this. The better we are about this stuff, the better our society is going forward. And so much of what we're trying to do is teach and help the younger generations learn how to, bluntly say this, act right. And how to treat people right, and bringing these stats down somewhat and everything. Mm-hmm. And when we're able to do this, the power that this has, the strength that this has to it, you've mentioned this right away, and I appreciate that you did, about the focus on community and not individuals so much of this. If we were talking about PFAS, nobody would think twice about, well, yeah, of course. I mean, we're talking about water. Water affects every community or every city, every neighbor, every address. So, yeah, it's going to take the whole community to figure this one out and everything. That makes sense. This is no different than that. Yeah. This is just as vital as water is, and it affects just as much and spreads just as far. We talked about this quite a bit when it comes to domestic violence and the effect it has on economies. You know, if I can't reach your heart, maybe I can reach your wallet, your purse, your taxes, the amount of money we spend on these things, even with all the cuts that take place. And there have been some drastic, incredible cuts to our domestic violence shelters around the country.
Yes.
When it comes to that part of it, when it comes to our younger generations and kids, let's take just one child, for example, and a child that is growing up in a family like that is struggling with this. Mm-hmm. How much do you think that child is able to focus on their schoolwork, on their after-school activities, on different things? The more we're able to give that child an opportunity to grow, to learn as an individual, the better the chances that they are as a taxpayer when they get older, and that they are able to contribute to their communities, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. This has a domino effect. It has an all-connected effect. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take all hands on deck to make it work, to get it better.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been doing this for 7 years, so I see those kind of nuanced aspects of how it can affect the economy and things like that. But it's so interesting when you really dive into this topic of how sexual violence is related to the environment. It's related to racism, to the economy, like you said, so many things. And that's what we really encourage people to look into. Like, we want you to know the very bare basics of, like, when this is happening to somebody, we want you to know how to act. But we also want people to understand the bigger picture, right? Like what you were talking about, of how this really does affect the community and your family, even if you don't have a personal, connection to it. But I do want to touch on what you said earlier, and we've talked about this so many times, where even if you don't know somebody who's a survivor, sexual violence doesn't happen in a vacuum. You all know somebody, even if you haven't been told directly that this happened to somebody you love. And we really need to be aware of how we're reacting and how we are treating other people when we see what's happening on the media. Or I don't know about you, but I've been inundated with political ads lately related to sexual violence. And I'm, kind of over it right now.
Yeah,
I bet everybody is.
I second that.
Yes, because they are all focused on sexual violence, which I want people to talk about that. But I also want them to talk about it and to see it outside of an election, not to be a Debbie Downer and say it's part of everyday life, but, to really recognize those things.
You know, and if that is a downer to anybody, well, guess what? We can make it not a downer by affecting these stats and making this better. If you don't like it, fix it. there's a way to make this better. Here's one of the, strong positives about this topic when we talk about it. This is something we can do something about. There are some problems out in life that seem bigger than we can imagine and wrap our minds around. There are things that go on in our day-to-day lives that feel out of control to us and we can't do a lot about. Here's one that every single person out there listening, we can impact this. we can be a part
Definitely.
Of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is, as I mentioned earlier, volunteering or being a part of a board. Our Wisconsin Family Center, like all domestic violence shelters around the country, have been had their budgets slashed. So any dollars and cents you can add to the Family Center is greatly appreciated. We can't even put in the words how much we appreciate that. But this is something that you can be a part of just on your character. And the way you treat people, just by doing that, you are a supporter. You're an ally by just the way you handle yourself and the people in your life day to day. That's a great place to start. And if that's as far as you go with this, that's all right. We want more hands. Again, all hands on deck. We want as many people to be a part of this as we can. But even just that is showing that you want to stand on the right side of history with this. Because make no mistake about it, anybody. There. I understand that, you know, we live in, you know, it's America. We love our fads. We love our pop culture and some of these things. This is not a fad. There is no putting the genie back in the bottle with this one. We're not being quiet anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not going back to those days. We're only going forward with this topic. And we want you to be on the right side of history with this. And the right side is just treating people right, just treating people good and treating people the way you would want to be treated and the impact you can make by doing that.
Absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that, too, because, you know, we obviously appreciate your time volunteering at the Family Center and all of those things. But just on that individual level, if you can learn about how to react when you see harassment happening or jokes being made that are sexual in nature, or if somebody tells you this is happening to them, which I hope that never happens to you, but it could, you know, we do trainings, we have resources on our website, we can point you to the right direction so that you really feel equipped and prepared to be able to act if you ever become aware that something's happening.
While it's not comfortable for me to talk about, I mention it because I know from you guys out there, you've let me know that you appreciate it. So just as an example of this, when I was talking about in high school and having some of those things happen and stepping up, one of the few people that had my back was a guy who ended up being one of my better friends and agreed with me in this locker room situation. Well, I would say maybe a year, maybe 2 years later or whatever, him and I are having a very late night that I won't go too far into. But we're having some fun. We're talking. And then all of a sudden something happens and he sees that I lock up. And the whole I'm completely sober. The whole thing changed. The whole night changed. And he noticed this. Mm-hmm. And he didn't pry it out of me, but he kind of knew that I needed to say something, even though I didn't know I needed to say something. And I told him, and he was probably only the second non-family member, and the first time at that age that I had been honest with somebody about the abuse I had experienced. And him being there, and just all he did was listen. He didn't say anything. I think he may have put his hand on my shoulder at one point, but I don't even remember if he did that, to be honest with you. It was a long time ago. But I remember specifically, he was just paying attention. He made eye contact with me, and he was listening. And that would lead me to get to this place right here where I am now talking about it and being able to hopefully help others out there or do whatever good I can with this experience that I went through. That's what it is to be an ally. That's what you just don't know, that even in the moment, what's going on may lead to years later that somebody feeling comfortable talking to you and seeking help because they see you as somebody who is an ally. You just never know where these things can lead just by being a good person, just by maybe not laughing at a joke or calling out somebody on a joke or just, you know, how you act and how you treat people. So much of this.
Right. And we really, really do appreciate you sharing your personal experiences just to let the community know that it is okay to talk about these things and there's no shame in that. So we do appreciate that. And definitely, even if you don't know all of the right words to say to somebody, just believing them and not putting them deeper into that shame shadow is so important. You can literally, you know, make or break somebody's healing journey just by listening and believing them.
And Jess, that's a really good way you put that too. Nobody really has, there are people who train, who work at this and everything, and even they don't have a perfect set of how to respond to this stuff. Don't worry so much about that. I know that it is a concern. I even have that concern sometimes when people are sharing with me. Just listening. just listening goes so far in this particular topic. Also, attention and awareness and prevention, which is a big part of what we're talking about here today. And and one of the ways of doing this is certainly bringing attention to things. And I think a fun and informative way of doing that you guys are doing with our friends over at McMillan Library. We've got a movie coming up, movie night with Wisconsin Rapids Family Center coming up. Can you tell us a little of the details of this and what the movie is?
Yeah, so in partnership with the library, we so appreciate them being able to host us. On April 2nd at 4 p.m., that's a Wednesday, in the all-purpose room at the library, we will be showing a movie called Promising Young Woman. And it's actually a really entertaining movie, even if you just come for the movie. It has some bigger stars in it, like Jennifer Coolidge, Carrie Mulligan. It's actually a really good movie. It is centered around the topic of sexual violence, so just to put a little trigger warning out there for people. And you are welcome to just come and enjoy the movie, but we also will be having a brief discussion following that, which you're welcome to stay for, you're welcome to leave, whatever feels right to you. But that discussion will really kind of center around Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and in relation to the movie, how can we be better allies? How can we support survivors a little bit better in our community? What the basis of this movie is it's about a woman who experienced a sexual assault, and at many different levels, she was failed, right? Mm-hmm. So we're really going to dive into that of how could her story have been different if these different players in her journey would have just maybe said something different or not made a joke like you talked about. So yeah, if you're interested and just even, like I said, even if you just want to see a really good movie, please come down.
Yeah, if I can just be the actor I am for a half a second, it's a very good movie. Carrie Mulligan is a great actor, and this may be the performance of her career. It's incredible work that she does. Bo Durnham does a nice job in it. Alison Brie is one of my favorite kind of character actors, and she's very good in it too. The writing is great. The directing has done a very good job, and you don't have to take my word for it. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. You don't see that very often, right. So I mean that's pretty darn good right there. And the thing that I love about movies like this is the opportunity it opens up, the icebreaker, if you will, to conversations like this that you guys are going to have afterwards. It's one of the greatest things that movies can do, along with being, as you said, very entertaining movie and a good movie, even if you know, you just want to take in a good movie. But to the point of being able to talk about this, I feel like it really does a great job of being an icebreaker and kind of... So often in life, once you say it out loud and say it, put it into the ether, it feels a little bit more comfortable to talk about. And that's such a big part of the movement on this, where we're talking about Me Too or we're talking about some of the other things that have happened in the last 10, 20 years. It's about getting these subjects out there into the ether so that we're not as hush-hush about it anymore. Because that's where so much of the problems have lied for many, many years, is the idea that we can't talk about certain things in public or anything. Those days are gone. Again, the genie's not going back in the bottle. This is only a topic that is going to grow and get stronger and more support to it. Events like this help us do that. I want to say a big thank you to McMillan for hosting this. They do such great work with our family center and doing events like this with other nonprofits, so appreciate that. And appreciate you guys having the idea for things like this. This is how we get more and more people involved with the family center, is doing events like this and giving people more of an avenue to, and kind of meeting people halfway almost. You know, I don't like adding anything to the family center's plate. You guys have so much to do over there and so much already there. But I appreciate and admire the willingness to do that, to meet people halfway and be like, hey, we're going to be over here talking about this at McMillan. Why don't you come on by? Why don't you come on by, check in a movie, maybe we'll talk.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that too, because even our work at the family center, we do a lot of domestic violence work as well. And people are a lot more apt to come to those kind of events when they hear domestic violence. But there's something about that word, sexual assault, where people just kind of freak out a little bit. And, you know, I don't want that word to ever not feel something, you know, because that's a big word. But at the same time, I don't want people to feel like that's not a space for them, or that it's going to be this uncomfortable thing to talk about. Like, it's okay to talk about this. And I do hope that, you know, showing a movie kind of bridges that gap a little bit. And I was going to say this too, that part of the reason why we chose this movie is we really recognize that everybody's sexual assault story is different. There's a lot of, you know, everybody has a different experience. But this movie really shows a common experience, unfortunately. It does involve, you know, alcohol-facilitated sexual assault, which is very common in Wisconsin culture with our drinking and all of those things. So like you were talking about where it really facilitates a discussion, I think this movie especially will relate to a lot of people. And it's just kind of so cliche, for lack of a better word, that that it really does create that discussion.
I think with that, the movie is able to give reach more and more people because of that. I think the writers did a nice job with that one. Did want to mention as well, anyone under 16 can attend. They will need a signed permission slip to be able to do so, and they can get that right at the front desk, at the info desk at the McMillan, if they would like to. Because again, so much of what we're doing here is prevention, awareness. So younger people, if you're coming with a parent or something like that, that's a great thing. That seems like a really positive thing about this. The more we can reach the younger generations and hopefully give more information and awareness to this topic, the better we'll be going forward with for those generations. Appreciate the time so much. Jess, if people have follow-up questions, they'd like to know more about some of what we talked about today, send them to the website, or can they reach you directly?
Yeah, so you can check out our website, familyctr.org. You can also email us at info@familyctr.org, or of course, just call our 24-hour crisis line. You can call that if you're in crisis or if you just need some information. That number is 715-421-1511.
And encourage you to bookmark their webpage again, familyctr.org. Be sure to follow them on social media. When you see their posts, share them on your page as well. You just never know who might see them otherwise. And again, make plans for movie night with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center over at McMillan Library, April 2nd, 4 o'clock in their all-purpose room. Jess, don't be a stranger. We got to see you again real soon. And please say hi to everybody over there for us.
I will. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to everybody for listening. We appreciate your time. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.